Hello, OMT3701 students. In this podcast, I give you general feedback on Assignment 3. The complete solution to Assignment 3 is in Tutorial Letter 203. If you have not received a hard copy of Tutorial Letter 203, you can download the tutorial letter from official study material on MyUNISA. Please take time to compare your calculations with the ones in Tutorial Letter 203. The examination consists of only written questions, so you also need to look at the way the calculations were set out in Tutorial Letter 203. This is how I would like you to answer these types of questions in the examination. The first two questions were queuing problems. The very first thing you need to do is to identify which queuing model fits the problem statement best. How do you do that? By looking at the information given on the arrival distribution, the calling population, the service time distribution, and the number of service channels. Using this information, you can identify the model and write down the Kendall notation. In question 1, it was given that the arrival rate is Poisson distributed and the service times exponentially distributed with two channels, the two caches, as students wait in a single line. So the Kendall notation is MM2. Therefore, the most appropriate model is the multi-channel queuing model, and you have to use only the equations of the multi-channel queuing model to answer the question, not any other model's equations. Please know that I've asked you in Tutorial Letter 101 to do only the F part of the question. Many students also did parts A to E. You need to read carefully. Question 2, you are given that the arrivals are Poisson distributed and the service times exponentially distributed. There is one service channel, the technician. There is only a limited population of 5 potential computers requiring service. So the Kendall notation is MM1 with finite source. Therefore, you will only use the equations of the finite population model to answer question 2. We have now completed the first step, which is to identify which queuing model equations we are going to use. This is a very important step. If you choose the wrong model, your answers really don't mean a thing. Also, you have to start with the general equations and show me how you simplify the equations for the specific problem. I want to see if you are able to do the simplifications. Only the general equations are on the exam formula sheet. The queuing problems were very leniently marked. In the exam, if you choose an incorrect model, you will lose almost all your marks. I hope you heard me clearly. You will lose almost all of your marks if you choose an incorrect model. You will only get one mark each for the correct arrival rate and service rate, and half a mark each for each correctly chosen variable you were asked to calculate. This brings us to the next step, that of determining the arrival and service rates. Please show clearly how you arrive at these rates and what they are. Write them down, including the units. Remember, the arrival rate is defined as the mean number of arrivals per time period, and the service rate as the mean number of people or items served per time period. These rates must be in this format. If the problem statement tells you that the service time is 12 minutes per customer, the service rate is not 12. Why not? Well, because it's not in the format of customers served per time period. It was given as time period per customer. Therefore, you have to change it to the correct format to get 5 customers per hour. That is why it's so important to write down the units so that you can check if the rates are in the required format. In Tutorial Letter 203, I have shown you in detail how I arrive at the rates I have used. Also, the units of the arrival and service rates must be the same. You need to write these units down so that you know in what time units you are working. This is important when you have to calculate the time in a queue or a system. When you get to the final answer, you have to write down the time unit. You need to know if you get an answer of 2,4, for an example, whether it is 2,4 minutes or 2,4 hours. It will make a huge difference to your customers. Once you know which equations you are going to use and you have the arrival and service rates, you are now ready to do the actual calculations. In question 1, the first part of the question asks you to calculate the probability that the system will be empty, which is P0. In order to calculate P0, you have to understand sigma notation, that funny Greek letter with stuff written on top and below it, and factorial. That is the variable or number with an exclamation mark following it. If you struggle with these concepts, have a look at 2 documents I have uploaded under additional resources on my UNISA called Sigma Notation and Factorial. I've also tried to put sufficient steps in the solution for you to follow how I deal with these. Contact me if you still have problems after working through tutorial letter 203 and the 2 documents on my UNISA. The rest of the calculations for question 1, as well as those for question 2, were straightforward substitution as long as you had identified the models correctly. Please note that your calculations must flow logically. By that I mean that if you have to calculate L and you have not yet calculated P0, you first have to show me your P0 calculation before you can substitute its value in the calculation of L. You may not substitute a value that you only show me afterwards how you calculated it. To ensure accurate answers, you need to work with at least double the number of decimal places you require. If you want to have your answers accurate to 2 decimal places, you have to work with at least 4 decimal places in all your calculations and only round off the final answers. Never use the rounded or values in the following calculation. You will lose accuracy. Work consistently with the same number of decimal places in your calculations. Now we get to question 3, the simulation, where you had to follow the 5 step of the Monte Carlo simulation as set out in your prescribed book. Step 1, the probability distributions were given to you. There were 2 distributions, one for the demand and one for the order size. Please note that there was no choice for you to order or not. You received an order each week because of a contract. You also did not know the size of the order you would receive beforehand. That is why you had to simulate the order size as well. Step 2 was to build the cumulative probability distributions for the demand and the order size. Always work with 2 decimal places only. Step 3 was to set the random number intervals. Remember, these intervals you get by looking at the last 2 digits of the cumulative probability columns. These 2 digits would be the upper bounds of each interval. Now you have to find the lower bound of each interval by adding 1 to the previous upper bound. These intervals may only contain 2-digit whole numbers. The first interval always starts with 0,1 and the last interval always ends with 0,0. So if you are given a random number of 0,0 in your simulation, this random number will always fall in the last interval. Step 4, the random numbers are given to you. Make sure you use the random numbers as indicated in tutorial letter 101. The random numbers will always be given to you in your assignments and exams, one way or another. Please read carefully and use the random numbers as requested. Step 5. The actual simulation is done by looking at what you want to know. In this case, you want to look at the storage capacity. Therefore, you need to look at both the beginning and the ending inventory of each week. Look at the columns in tutorial letter 203 on page 9. These are the least number of columns you can use in this simulation. Please note that you need a random number before you can simulate the order size or demand. This means that your random number columns must be before or to the left of the simulated order size or demand columns. You do not need to calculate all kinds of averages because it's not asked. To answer the B part, you need to look at the maximum value in the beginning and ending inventory columns to see the maximum storage required for this single simulation. You also have to think a little bit wider about simulations in general when answering this part. See the model answer in tutorial letter 203. In question 4, many students use the tree diagram to solve this problem. You must be able to solve this problem using Markov analysis. Also, look in tutorial 203 to see how you should set out a Markov analysis problem. You must be able to set up the matrix of transition probabilities from the information given in the problem statement. In Rendersteer and Dana, you are shown how to get the vector of state probabilities by dividing the number of customers at each company by the total number of customers. To calculate the probability of the number of customers at each company in the next time period, you have to multiply the vector of state probabilities by the matrix of transition probabilities. In tutorial 203, I explained that because the question asks for the number of customers at each company and not the probability, you could have worked with a state vector instead of the vector of state probabilities. It wasn't a problem if you did work with the vector of state probabilities, but then you had to remember to multiply the probabilities by the total number of customers again. The bottom line is you have to check that your answer corresponds to what is asked in the question. Also, you have to ensure that you work accurately by using enough decimal places when calculating the probabilities. In this specific case, you had to use at least 5 decimal places in order to get the answer correct to the nearest customer. Do not hesitate to contact me if you need help in preparing for your examination. This brings us to the end of the podcast on the feedback on assignment 3.